Welcome to episode 110 of the Rise Up Good Witch podcast, a radical approach to herbalism, self-care, the tarot, witchy pop culture, art and creativity, ancestral connection, and all forms of healing that can guide us toward collective liberation. This is your host, Tavi Elise. Thank you for joining us. I hope you are all okay. In the wake of that extremely intense full solar eclipse on April 8th. This month is feeling very fast and very heavy. And as always, I'm grateful to be able to be here in this space with you, which requires me to pay attention, to move slowly with intention, and to be more mindful with my words and actions. I'd also like to invite you, dear ones, as we move into warmer, sunnier times in the Northern Hemisphere, as we move into busier times and scarier times, to check yourselves lest you wreck yourselves. We are in a Mercury retrograde. Many of us are without our life-saving ADHD medications, myself included. It's very easy for things to fall through the cracks. It's very easy to get ahead of ourselves. It's very easy to lose focus, lose sight. And especially when it feels like everything in the world is out of control, it's important to remind ourselves that our bodies are our first and our safest homes, even when they are a struggle to inhabit, even when they might not always feel like the safest place. You are your first home, and that we can always return to our breath, return to our center. We can always ask ourselves, what is it that I can tend to in my heart, in my body, in my mind, or in my spirit today or in this moment? We will get more into talking about modes of care and slowness a little later on with today's guest. I'd also like to tell you all about something special. Rise Up Good Witch's first mutual aid sponsee. As I've mentioned in past episodes, we are opening up the show to paid sponsors and to free mutual aid sponsees. So that is a free mutual aid spot that is for fundraisers or mutual aid funds for a group or an organization that needs a boost. This season's mutual aid sponsee is Ori Art Gallery. Founded by powerhouse artists Maya Vivas and Rue Haile, Ori Gallery is both an organizing collective and a physical art space located in the historically Black, currently deeply gentrified Mississippi neighborhood in Portland, Oregon. Born of shared dreams for autonomy, agency, and abundance as Black, queer, trans creators, we were founded for and by community members, seeking to carve out our own spaces rather than fighting for recognition from primarily white institutions. Since Ori's creation in 2018, in collaboration with individual community members, sibling grassroots organizations, and major arts institutions in the city of Portland, Ori has produced individual and group art exhibitions. They've hosted and led community workshops. They've provided free organizing space to the public. They've hosted mutual aid campaigns. They have a space at the huge Mississippi street fair that happens every summer. They've also contributed so much professional development for artists and organizers, and just so much more. Ori has long since outgrown its 400 square foot gallery space and is seeking to expand. Following an unfortunate house fire a couple winters ago in the house next door on the same property, Ori has worked with their landlords to assume ownership of this land outright, aiming to purchase both the gallery itself and the remains of the house next door. With proper ownership and rehabilitation of this house, Ori will be able to offer our community outdoor events, permanent low-income housing for Black creatives, housing for artists in residence, and larger art productions and exhibits. However, in order to do this, Ori needs to raise over $1 million to restore fire-damaged areas, make the house safe to use by getting things up to code, meet current accessibility standards, and resume full exhibitions and community programming as soon as possible. They need your help to bring these dreams into reality. This space is so near and dear to my heart for so many reasons, not just because its founders and board members are my dear friends and because Ori has been a place for me to seek solace and comfort in community as well. Ori provides a chance to tell our stories without filters or gatekeepers, a chance to create healing spaces filled with images that reflect our lives as told by us, a chance to be unapologetically ourselves and affirmed as such by our peers without the scrutiny of the dominant hegemony. We know that queer and trans BIPOC artists ongoingly experience wild displacement and violence and housing insecurity at extraordinary rates. And so much can be done with this land to help mend that in really concrete ways. Especially if you've ever posted about land back, but you don't really know how to help contribute to that, especially if you're a white person who has ever complained about how white Portland or any other place is for that matter, and you want to contribute even $1 or $5 or $1,000 towards creating an intentional space for Black artists to feel like they can have a home in North Portland again, please share and contribute whatever you can to their fundraiser on Chuffed, which I will link here in the show notes. As Ori is our mutual aid sponsee, that means that anyone who donates $75 or more to this campaign will receive a free one-on-one consultation of their choice from me. And if you haven't listened to most recent episodes, I recently launched my own one-on-one services that includes herbal peer support counseling, peer wellness support counseling, and life transition doula services. So just send me an email with a screenshot or receipt of your donation payment of $75 or more and what kind of consultation you'd like, and I will connect with you to schedule. Just briefly, I'll remind y'all about all the different ways you can tap in to support me and this show. If you join our Patreon for as low as $2 a month, you get 20% off of anything in my apothecary when you enter a special checkout code. I would love to see some new folks on the Patreon. I would also love to see new ratings and reviews of the show on Spotify and Apple Pods. That is free 99, and it helps people find us. Okay, y'all, I'm sending everyone so much love and reminding us to continue speaking up and out and fighting for liberation in every corner of the world, from Palestine to Congo, from Sudan to Yemen to Atlanta. May all beings be free. May all beings be safe from harm and suffering. I hope you enjoy this episode with Erica Joy of Cosmic Healing. Love you. Mean it. Erica Joy is a Taurus Sun, Aries Moon, and Rising. They are a Black, fat, queer person who's just trying to live in sort of isolation because we're still in a pandemic, laugh because mirth is good for the body, love her homies past, present, and future, and learn how to let go of the insecure voice in their head that is white supremacy. In true Taurus fashion, Erica is determined to prioritize rest and bask in what makes them happy. Right now, that looks like reading cute comics, making semi-elaborate meals, watching the birds in the tree outside her window, singing and dancing in the kitchen, and debriefing reality TV with friends. Erica organizes community spaces for the Cosmic Healing Fam. She plans and leads virtual group conversations, multi-week group programs, and a community newsletter that brings together thoughts and requests from the Cosmic Healing Fan.
All right. Please join me in welcoming Erica Joy to the Rise Up Good Witch podcast. Hi, Erica.
Hello. Hello. Thank you for having me. Hello. So exciting to be here.
Yeah, I'm excited to have you here. How are you doing today?
You know, I'm doing okay. Getting through. It is a hard world out here. So had some breakfast, talked to a friend. Now I'm here. Had some good sleep, which was like really nice to have. Mm-hmm. So yeah, mm-hmm. I'm doing okay. I'm doing all considering, right? The grief in this world and people who don't care about this pandemic. And mm-hmm. so yeah. Mm. Trying to do what I can to still have community. And that's good.
Good. Yeah, I hear that. I woke up today feeling kind of like a flattened pancake of grief, or like a stack of grief pancakes, like on my chest. Just woke up feeling really heavy and sad. I'm feeling that way a lot lately, waking up. And I've been doing a lot of tapping. And did some stretching on my heat pad, made myself a good breakfast, hung out with my partner a little bit. And here we are. Yeah, here we are on a cold Oregonian, rainy April 4th.
Yes. I mean, a little random, but I feel like it is also like what National Poetry Writing Month. And that has been helping me like move through some of this grief as well. And just move through this really hard time, just getting feelings on a page and a poem that like no one else will probably see.
That's really interesting. I didn't know it was, I know it's a national month for a bunch of different things. I did not know about that, but I actually like had a really weird emotional dream this morning when I woke up where I wrote a poem in my dream for somebody else.
You're tapped in.
Something in me is tapped in. But I have been feeling like an urge to kind of like get back to some poetry lately. So I think I will. Good suggestion. Thank you for the suggestion. Erica Joy, what do you want to tell us about yourself?
Yeah, I am this fat queer person trying to connect with other fat queer people, and just other fat people generally. I think I've grown up fat my whole life, and it's just always been something, or, you know, in the past, it was always something that was something I needed to change, something that I should feel shame about, something that I needed to avoid at all costs. And that has like over the last like what, 6 or so years, it's been a big overhaul of all of that and being like, let me embrace this. Where are all the other fat people in my life? Like, let's talk. Mm-hmm. Let me bring some new ones in. And I am a part of Cosmic Healing, which is an organization that I run with my sister, Kay. It's an therapeutic astrology practice that we started back in 2021 after I graduated from college with a social work degree. Kay was, you know, this was also what, the second year into the, or the, a little over a year into the pandemic. We were like, what are we gonna do? Like, what's happening? Mm-hmm. We were back living in Charleston with our mom, and we were like, why would we participate in capitalism in a way where we're just like selling ourselves for what, you know? Kay has been doing astrology for years. I was like, I need a break from like doing all the things that college entails, having two jobs, running 3 different clubs. I was like, I need to slow down. So in the beginning of Cosmic Healing, I was more focused on just like, okay, setting up the structure, the sending out emails, thinking about the like social media side of it. But and then as time went on, I was like, well, this is a community practice. Like, we're trying to build community. And that is something I love to do. I love bringing people together. I love making connections. Like, one of my passions is just like linking people to like where they want to go, or linking them to each other to see like, oh, you like, you have these interests. I have a perfect person who you can talk to about it. And also throughout college, I was like doing a lot of recruiting for like our community service, like building or office. So yeah, I've always just been able to like pull people in. Let me see, what can I do for you? That brought in our different community groups that we do.
Cosmic Healing started in 2021, and it's you and your sibling, Kay. And I met y'all at just by chance at the Pandemic Solidarity for the Long Future little internet conference. And because I wandered into your vendor booth, and we just started talking. Which is so cool.
It was so fun.
Yeah.
It was such a fun time.
Yeah. What was your experience at that event? I keep talking about this on the podcast just because it's like, I don't know. It was just such a unique experience.
Truly. Because I think what was like the biggest factor to me, for me, that like just made me comfortable is the fact that it was like not only virtual, but the fact that it was so like disability centered, that it was like, okay, yeah, like I can just like kind of opt out. Like I can leave for a moment. Like, no one's going to be like, wait, why aren't you here? Because everyone has this understanding that like we have different capacities. We have like for the being on screen or just like communicating with people generally. So yeah, that was like really nice. And also just like knowing that there's so many other people, specifically other people of color, who are like invested in staying safe during this pandemic that is like still here and still going on, was just like very heartwarming. And it was also really just cool to see like all the different vendors. Yeah. Like that we're all doing these things that are going to be COVID safe in some way, like with Cosmic Healing. Everything that we do is virtual. Kay is immunocompromised. I am a fat person who will not be respected a lot of the time in healthcare facilities. So like the idea of like having COVID, which I have had, unfortunately, but like knowing that the complications could lead to needing to go to a hospital and then not being believed because I'm fat, but also not being believed because healthcare also seems to be forgetting that COVID leads to a lot of different unfortunate illnesses, diseases, complications. So yeah, we stay virtual with our offerings, from the Asher readings that Kay gives to the community groups that I lead. And we also just like have community, like one-off community together time to get people connected, because a lot of the time, like part of the reason we also brought Cosmic Healing to life, I guess, is because like Kay and I were realizing that we both had like communities that we felt like could come together as well. And then this time of like when community wasn't really easily accessible a lot of the time, it was like, how do we build something where we can come together and like talk about our lives in a way that feels a bit easier than just being like, okay, everyone, like we're gonna hold a Zoom with these random people that you don't know because they're Erica's friends and Kay's friends, and it's like, okay.
a little more intention.
Exactly, exactly. The intentionality.
It's so cool. I'm really excited to learn more about what you all do and how you do it. And to experience it myself. I'm hoping to sign up for this group that you're doing that we'll be talking about in a little bit. But in the past, so you've done eclipse season groups in the past. You said you did a Venus and Leo group last year. And that these things are, they're non-hierarchical community building, incorporating values of rest, community, liberation, and joy. That is so much of what we talk about on this podcast. Yes. Just all of it. It's so juicy and so good. I'm not sure where to start, because there's this upcoming workshop that we'll talk more about in a bit. Let's talk a little bit about, do you want to talk about fat liberation first, or do you want to talk about peer support?
Let's talk about peer support a little bit, I guess. Yeah.
What does peer support mean for you?
I was thinking about this last night, and this one line kind of came into my head of peer support feels like a intentional, informal version of community. It's this way to support your community members, and I say it's formal because I think in an ideal world we would be able to do this freely and easily, but since we're in this society where so much of our time is taken up by work, so much of our time is taken up by having to rest and take care of ourselves, that now we need this standard way of supporting each other. And it makes me sad, right? That we have to have these formally titled or these super intentional systems or ways to support each other. But I mean, that is, I think, based off of just the words peer support, it's just being there for someone else in a way that isn't judgmental, trying to connect people to the resources that they need, or it can just be a listening ear, or it can be how can we plan this way to get you where you want to be. So that's very open-ended and vague, but it could look sitting in a coffee shop, right? Masked, maybe. in the old world, sitting in a coffee shop unmasked, but now it could be looking sitting in a park together and talking, or it can look writing out a plan for how you're going to move across the country, or it can look having someone cry and just saying hey, it's okay, this is really understandable.
I don't think that was super open-ended and vague, because I think it is. I think it's hard to define, because is kind of open-ended and vague. Mm-hmm. It's not peer support. It's not therapy. But I think it is a therapeutic relationship, or it can be. I think that I've talked before this year about the experience I had doing a 40-hour peer support training. It was kind of an awakening for me, in several ways, because first to the fact that I've been doing this informally, for people for years, sometimes even solicited. I'm a Virgo. I have a history of having given a lot of unsolicited advice, but also people just randomly message me and ask me hey, this obscure medication that we both take, like, can you help, like, can you give me some advice about how to get access to it? Or like, I don't know, yeah. I've just kind of become this, I've always been this sort of resource hub where I, same as you, like, I love connecting people if I can to like something that will help them or something, resources in either locally or nationally, or the internet, like being like, oh, you would love this therapy clinic, or you would love, I think you'd vibe really well with this specific acupuncturist, or like, I think, in my personal experience, it comes from, you know, 15 plus years of deep chronic illness and mental illness and having to, advocate for myself a lot and having to, being the struggle, being in the struggle of having to find resources myself. And the fact that this training was part of the awakening was like, oh, I can do this in a healthier way than I've been doing it, which I already knew that. And I've already had like massage school training with boundaries and ethics and all that. But I think peer support, it's kind of like this, similar to therapy, but not therapy. It's sort of like this held, it's a space. It's a space that you hold for another person. That is respectful and like warm and loving, where you can just whatever, you know, with no necessarily with not like a hard endpoint or like a maybe you can work on goals with somebody, or you can, you know, it could be more goal centered, or it can be more needs, you know, as it comes, kind of needs based.
Yeah. Exactly. And like the way that I hope to like hold peer support spaces with people is to kind of understand what they need. What do they want from this? Because as the person who's like maybe facilitating the space or holding the space too, it's like, yeah, I don't feel like I need, like, this isn't about me all the time. Like, we are peers, and like, there is that connection that I want to have, because I think part of the reason like therapy is so like needs to change is because it is like one person not having, like, not sharing at all about themselves, and then this other person who has to like be so vulnerable and like tells you your like their whole life and then it's like, okay, like now there's this like power dynamic of like, I know everything about you and you know nothing about me. And that is, that's a lot.
It's a lot of pressure. Well, and it's also like, not a negative thing, but it's like, it's a unique and interesting and weird kind of relationship to have. And there's reasons, obviously, like why it's structured that way. But yeah, peer support is different in that it's less hierarchical. It's less like I am the wisdom and knowledge guru, and you will come to me to seek what you need, and I will provide you what you need in this, yeah, in this top down way, versus us being peers and being kind of on equal footing and like, you know, let's both chat. Let's both talk. Yeah. And then you can share your lived experience as a peer with them, to whether that's sharing resources or just help or just holding space, just listening and being like, yeah, I've been there, or no, I haven't been there, but
let's figure it out together. Still, you know? Yeah, exactly. I think that sometimes, and even I, as someone who is currently in therapy, but might not be soon. It's like having this expectation that like, oh, this therapist needs to know how to like fix me, or like needs to know like what exactly, like what exact questions to ask, or needs to remember that theory from school 6 years ago that will like now help me understand what is going on in my mind. And that is just, it's unrealistic. And as someone who has like, yeah, gone through like social work education, and part of that education being like somewhat clinical social work, and how to work with people one-on-one and how to coordinate, or have sessions with clients individually, it's like this practice session with my peer this practice is not going to stick with me for like my whole life. You know, this theory from whoever white guy from the 1800s, like that's not the 1800s, but the 1900s or something, or this white woman who was rich who wanted to just like feel good about herself and help poor people. Like what she was saying is not going to help me right now, or is going to be like the answer to fixing the system that is still going to require that people are poor.
It's a troubled
industry for sure. Yes. And many flaws we could get into there, but I think like when you do go through education yourself, when you go through the process, you kind of see how the therapy sausage is made a little bit, and you have more of I can understand like why somebody who it's funny, you can trace the threads back. Like I grew up with like a lot of my friends were therapists' kids. And some of those kids became therapists themselves. I can also see how like if you go through a therapy training program, you might be like, God, I never want to do talk therapy again myself. Or you might be like, I need a talk therapist for the rest of my life. Just kind of depends on like you and your context, I guess.
Yeah, no, truly. So, I mean, that is also just like linking it, I guess, back to cosmic healing real quick, is just having that understanding and trying to navigate away from those like aspects that I do not appreciate and I don't think are going to lead us to living in a time or place that allows people to live just to live, you know. And just knowing that like because you're alive, you are like you deserve to have the things you need to be alive, and you deserve happiness,
you deserve support, you deserve like support. Yeah, I think we put so much weight and like pressure in our society on needing help, or like the idea of needing help, whether that's like somebody to help you move, or like, what do you mean you have a full-time job and you like can't clean your house or like take care of yourself or you like your kids, or like there's so much like moral like pressure and weight that we put on needing any kind of help.
And it's so new too, like the fact, like before now, like people hire people to clean their houses, people hire private chefs, people hire like, but there are rich people who are doing these things, or people who have more money, who are doing these things. And, but like, it's the needing help is, yeah, only a moral thing when it comes to people who like need help and need support.
And maybe can't pay for it.
Exactly. Yeah. I was just going to say that I saw this video recently about how like convenience foods really came to life when slavery was like abolished. I mean, quote unquote, abolished. Thanks prison systems for still keeping it alive and well, but how convenience foods like really started to ramp up because of that, because now it fell onto the shoulders of white women to like provide food and cook for their families, when before they had slaves to do that. And yeah, so it's just like how there's so much.
Not so easy now, is it, Susan?
Yeah, right.
Sorry about it. Yeah, you got to take care of your fucking kids.
oh
Yeah, I think I saw that. I saw that same video too. and yeah, there's so much history there. But one of the, I always think back to this, the year I was in art school, and I went to SAIC in Chicago for a single year, and I took this like kind of like an international like feminism class, and that was like the first time I had ever been introduced to the idea of like outsourced emotional and like domestic labor, like as like a class issue. You know, I was 20. Yeah. I hadn't really thought about that before.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just how still relevant that is so many years, kind of so many years like post-slavery, how these kind of dynamics that we wind up in class-wise are so, haven't really changed a whole lot because the economic discrepancy like between white and black Americans, and we'll just talk about America because that's where we are. it's elsewhere too, but yeah, just how little that context has changed over time because of the gaps.
I know we're all feeling a bit sold out when it comes to lackluster, questionable CBD products. So if you're seeking truly beneficial wellness products and delicious flowers, skip the corporate CBD scams and purchase CBD buds and products with Soul. That's simply Soul. Soul spelled S-O-L. Just like the regeneratively grown, sun-soaked goodness cultivated in living soil out at the BIPOC and woman-owned Simply Soul Farm. When farmers with backgrounds in permaculture, herbalism, and the culinary arts, plus decades of cannabis experience, come together to create real, rapid-acting medicine, you know you can expect effectively and sustainably grown CBD flowers that are also some of the tastiest on the market. The best part? Accessibility is one of the main principles at Simply Soul because health and vitality should never come at a high cost. Go to simplysoulfarms.com to check out the mission and support the vision by stocking up on some of the best, most affordable CBD products out there. Use discount code RISEUP10, that's RISEUP10, at checkout for an additional 10% off of all products.
Coming back to the peer support conversation, I guess. So, like, what are some reasons why someone might want to seek out peer support with you?
Because they're also Black. Because they also understand, like, they want someone who is, yeah, Black, fat, queer, who understands what it's like to grow up, like, paycheck to paycheck, and is now trying to figure out how to, like, not work in a way that, like, continues capitalism in this way. I think that someone would want to have peer support with me because I have a bright, shiny, smiley face.
You do.
I be laughing all the time. I have, like, major earth, fire, and water energy. I have a Cancer Venus, which makes me, like, really, like, I just want to take care. Let me take care of somebody. And I am, like, I'm a Taurus sun and Aries moon and rising. So if you want someone who's mad with you, I can be mad. And I'm also just, I prioritize, as, like, with Cosmic Healing too, but I prioritize, like, rest, community, stability, and comfort. Like, those are my things. Mm-hmm. So if you are seeking rest, care, comfort, and community, hit me up.
Yay,
we'll figure this out together.
I love it. That's great. Yes. Well, I would love to talk about this group that you and Kay have coming up with, Cosmic Healing.
Fat Jupiter group.
Yeah, it is a Fat Jupiter group for fat liberation through an astrological lens. Tell us about it, won't you?
Yeah. So we are really trying to prioritize this part of our, like, our practice of, like, revolution and liberation. And so fat liberation as a fat person is very important to me. And Jupiter is currently in Taurus, about to leave Taurus at close to the end of Taurus season. And Jupiter is, like, the biggest planet, and she be protecting us. And so I wanted to do this group so that people can kind of see how astrology can be a part of liberation. It's not, you know, astrology is going to be what you make it, you know, so it's not inherently a liberation focused, like, practice, but it really can be. And Jupiter has themes and lessons that can help us decondition from fat phobia and kind of, like, lean into fat liberation, because Jupiter is focused on, like, yes, expansion and indulgence, and also wisdom and spirituality and long distance travel, protection, generosity. Like, there are all these themes that can help us to understand where fat phobia actually, like, comes from and how to, like, get away from it. Because I mean, a lot of fat phobia is linked to, like, the patriarchy within Christianity and racism and sexism. So, Jupiter has these themes. And then while in Taurus, which a lot of people, you know, see Taurus with, like, or associate Taurus, the sign, with food and sleep and weed. And we love her. As a Taurus sun, I'm just like, yeah, it's real. As I said, care, comfort, rest, and food. I love food. Mm-hmm. And so, like, having Jupiter in Taurus right now is kind of just, like, amplifying that as well. Like, Jupiter is an amplification of things, and having that amplification of, like, Taurus energy is, like, really, while the sun is also going to be in Taurus, it's just going to be, like, so much goodness. That is kind of, like, the why behind doing it right now. And also just, like, why we would want to focus on fat liberation during this time. So it's going to be, like, 4 90-minute sessions that, well, let me back up for a second, because we have a fat group and a non-fat group. So the fat group is because we have, like, this, like, separation, because a big part of it is, like, the deconditioning, but they're, like, kind of two different things that we're deconditioning if you're a fat person versus a non-fat person. It's, like, that internalized fat phobia versus that, like, perpetuation of fat phobia kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And as well, because it's not just about deconditioning, it's also about, like, community building, like, that peer support aspect of it. So, like, the fat group, like, is going to lean more into, like, dreaming fat dreams together, like, building this collective idea of fat liberation from a fat perspective, and delving into our fat experiences and thinking about how can we, like, start, like, embracing the things that we've denied ourselves because of fat phobia, and how can we access, like, all those emotions that come with being a fat person. And, like, that's just not something that a non-fat person can do. Especially if they've never been fat. Like, obviously, like, bodies do fluctuate. Some people who have been fat before are not fat now, and that will give them a different perspective that I think would also really help within a non-fat group. So yeah, that non-fat group is going to focus a little bit more on how to unlearn and expand beyond, like, the core tenets of fat phobia and how to detect like that covert fat phobia within themselves and also externally, mm-hmm. and ways to be like a better ally and gain confidence in talking to like loved ones and community who are like indirectly perpetuating fat phobia as well. But mm-hmm. like overall though, it's like, we want everyone who like is a part of it to understand how Jupiter is connected to fatness and how like Jupiter has lessons for us that we can like lean into and grow beyond this anti-fat society, and build community with other people who are like either starting to engage in fat liberation or already are. As well as seeing like the connection between like fat liberation and like disability justice and gender justice and re-indigenization as well. Like the way that I have I've been reading like different books for this, and like I'll also will be kind of getting into that during the group as well. But it's been a book that I've seen for years around, and I was like, okay, this is the time to read it, I guess. It's called Fearing the Black Body by Sabrina Strings, which I know is a very popular book within like the fat sphere and like fat acceptance, body positivity even. But just like seeing the connection between how like Europeans like going to Africa and seeing Africans and basically being like, oh, they are just eating and resting, we can't, that's not what we do, like
this simply won't do.
Mm-mm, we can't have that.
Oh, we're gonna have to change all this.
Yeah, they actually enjoy life. Mm-mm-mm. The fruits of the land,
we simply can't have it.
Yeah. So yeah, it's just like even getting back to that as like a Black person who is a descendant of slaves, mm-hmm. understanding that like me wanting to sit and just eat and just like lounge, that was also my ancestors. Like they were doing that.
And they'd want that for us. Exactly. they want us working ourselves into an early grave, working fucking 60-hour weeks. No. And well, there's this whole, you know, I think this group is like very prescient, like very relevant, and like of the times in so many mm-hmm. ways. There's these radical rest factions that have come up, I think, for many years, but I remember first seeing and hearing about radical rest around 2016.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think that there's like so much room for different perspectives and like voices
mm-hmm.
around those topics. And yeah, I haven't heard of anything like this group you're doing before. Thanks for putting it together. Mm-hmm. It sounds absolutely yeah. wonderful. Did you want to talk about the structure a little bit?
Yeah, totally. So with it being two separate groups, each group is going to have 4 90-minute group sessions. And like we're going to be focusing on the themes mostly of like perspective and wisdom. So like that first group is kind of like, okay, how did you start where did you start opening your eyes to like the anti-fat bias that is like happening around us, and then like moving into indulgence and then into protection and travel. And that's kind of all going to be informed by, again, like our experiences as well as the different like excerpts from different books, like Fearing the Black Body. Oh my gosh.
There it is.
And Belly of the Beast by Deshaun Harrison. Fat On, Fat Off by Clarkesha Kent, as well as some other. There's this, maybe it's like a zine or something, but it's called The Good Fatty, or like the different like tropes of The Good Fatty, and like that is something else we'll like look into. But there are 4 sessions. And then there's also one final fifth session where both groups will come together and kind of debrief together and kind of like share what we've all like learned or just like are leaving with, I guess, because it's not just like it's not a class. So even though there is going to be like some texts and stuff, it is more based in like that peer support and like talking to each other, sharing our experiences and our thoughts and ideas and them, like, but it's kind of that weird subliminal space, if that actually works in that way. But there are 15 spots in each of the groups, and there is like the option to get a reading with Kay that is focused on your Jupiter placement. So you can kind of understand how Jupiter is playing a role in your chart and in your life.
Yeah. Super cool. And those astro readings, would they take place like separately from those sessions? Like,
yeah. So they would, yeah, you would schedule a time with Kay, and it would be like an additional, it's not like included. So it's sliding scale. Mm-hmm. Because we understand that like where people are not making enough money. But we're also based in, we are Black people for Black people. So we have a striated?
Yeah.
Tiered sliding scale. Okay, I like that. Yeah, we have a tiered sliding scale. So Black people have a sliding scale that starts at 50 to go to like 100. POC, non-Black POC, it's like starts at 100 to 200. And then white people or people who do have like a financial privilege, then it starts at 150 to 300. And if you want to pay more than 300, you're welcome to.
I think that's really accessible. I think that's really accessible. You can only set your rates so low right now,
right?
Especially when you're doing this kind of work, and this is a lot of work putting this together. So,
mm-hmm.
Let's tell people about the dates. So it's four 90-minute group sessions, starting April 18th through May 16th.
Yes. So for the FAT group, we'll be meeting on Thursdays. So from April 18th, 25th, so on until May 16th. And then for the non-FAT group, it's on Wednesdays, starting April 24th, and then moving to May 1st. And so on. And those are from 5:30 Pacific time to 7 Pacific time. So they are starting a little bit later on the East Coast at 8:30. But trying to just be, yeah, accessible to people who do still work those 9-to-5 jobs. So.
No, I think that's about as accessible as you can make it. It's hard. It's really hard scheduling, especially live group stuff. It's so hard scheduling stuff and expecting people to show up and being able to show up yourself. So, I really encourage folks who are listening to sign up for this group if you're able. It sounds like such a beautiful offering.
So you guys can sign up on it's cosmichealing.addpotion.com. And I will say that again.
I'll link this all in the show notes too. But
oh, okay, cool. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So it's cosmichealing.addpotion.com. But gonna be linked. Thanks, Tavi.
Yeah, of course. You're so welcome. I'd love for you to maybe kind of like, this could be a two-pronged question, like kind of define what fat liberation is for anybody who's not familiar with this terminology, and then kind of talk a little bit about what fat liberation means to you or your journey with it.
Yeah. So for me, like fat liberation, overarching is like dismantling systems and rhetoric and internalized beliefs that perpetuate the idea that fatness itself or fatness itself makes people like unworthy to live a full, happy life, and get the care that they need. So that is how I see fat liberation. Cause I think within like the fat sphere, there's like these different kind of, subgroups of like fat acceptance versus health at every size versus body positivity, which I think more people are kind of understanding how body positivity at this point is really like for people who are like mid-size / thin and like remembering like you guys actually do fit the beauty standard. Don't worry.
You can find jeans without too much of
But fat liberation is really more focused on how there are like, so fat liberation is kind of understanding that like no matter a person's size, they really do still deserve respect in a full life. And that it is also racial justice and disability justice and gender justice and more, because fat liberation is at the intersection of all these things, and fat phobia is at the intersection of all those systems. Fat phobia is at the intersection of all those systems of oppression. And so for me also, that like fat liberation is just appreciating fat people and knowing that we've always existed. Like this is not some new phenomenon. Like when it was like what, the early 2000s when obesity became an epidemic, like people have been fat forever. Like that's just the case. And it's a natural way of the body. Like it's not something that is a choice all the time. And even if it is a choice, like
who cares?
Okay. Like who cares? Exactly. And I think also this is not necessarily answering like what fat liberation is, but it, something that like stuck with me a while ago, and this was actually from Kay, who was very much not a fat person. she said something about like your standard of beauty should like start with yourself. And for me as a fat person, like that was like, whoa, like what? That's wild. But it really did start shifting my perspective. Like, what if I was my, like, the standard of beauty in my life? Like, I am the standard of beauty. And that, like, really just, like, changed things for me. Because it became, like, I am the start. Like, I don't know. Not to be, like, thin slander or, like, not good for thin people. But I really just like, I'm not thin people / like small, like non-fat people are just like not it for me anymore. Like, I'm just like, where are you? Where's your body?
in terms of like your personal, like,
yes,
preference, yes, or like, yeah,
yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So like, I don't know. Like, that's always been something where I'm like, I don't know what I'm gonna say. It's like the reverse racism kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's tricky because we are having these conversations, and I am seeing this kind of discourse online about like thin people feeling discriminated against, or mm-hmm. like, and it's like you can feel kind of like with white people, like you can feel. Well, you're entitled to your feelings and your opinions and your preferences, but like it's on a very individualistic scale. You have to be able to zoom out and look at the systems and see like, okay, but who are airplane seats made for?
Mm-hmm.
Who has to like endure
regular humiliation on a day-to-day mm-hmm. basis for like, okay, you got bullied because you were thin and that sucks. And I feel for you there. That blows. I'm sorry that that happened to you. You don't deserve that. And also like these greater systems at large, like, are you going to be discriminated against as a thin person when you mm-hmm. go to your doctor and they don't believe you about a health condition until it's too late? Mm-hmm. Like, and again, not saying that medical discrimination doesn't happen, but it's like on a broader, wider scale, mm-hmm. more regularly, like fat people die with some degree of increasing regularity because of COVID, because doctors might not care on a basic level. A doctor might not care about you.
Yeah.
And your mm-hmm. health, because you're fat and black, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or because you're over a certain weight, and they just think, oh, they connect every single health problem that you're experiencing to that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do think it's about zooming out and seeing those bigger patterns that are longstanding and mm-hmm. well, you know, historically well documented.
Mm-hmm. No, truly. And sorry, like you, when you were talking about also like doctors, it just reminded me of like the idea of, yeah, like beauty coming into this as well. Of like, oh, we can't let this beautiful person like be sick. And when fatness becomes something antithetical to beauty, then it's like another reason to like, well, this, you know, quote unquote ugly person is fine. Like, it's okay if they're sick or if they die. So it's just, it's giving me eugenics. Yes.
Yeah, no, there's so many different things that happen. And like when mm-hmm. I was when I was much more sick than I am now, and I'm like, I'm a mid-sized person. I'm like a size 18, but mm-hmm. I have never had a flat stomach a day in my life since I was like 7 years old. And the amount of kind of internal micromath that you have to do about how you present yourself to doctors, like I would have to remind myself back in my hyperfem days when I was wearing a lot of makeup and when I was very sick, I would not wear makeup to the doctor intentionally.
Mm-hmm.
So it would look more sick. Well, it's just so that because if I wore makeup or if I was very well put together or like very well dressed going to the doctor, like they'd be like, whatever, you're, what's wrong with you? You're fucking 25. Mm-hmm. Like, what's your problem? You look fine. Your blood work is okay. and they, you know, I would find that I noticed how much my appearance and how I presented myself would influence whether or not I was believed for how sick I was.
Interesting. Yeah. Yeah. And that's just, it makes me wonder because I've been watching Grey's Anatomy a lot lately. It's just weird to think that like those little decisions can be the reason why or why not you receive care. And even though they take this oath of like, do no harm. And it's like, y'all are actively harming because you are ignoring people when they say that they are sick or in pain or have, you know, whatever list of symptoms. And it's like, you have to think like people are not just out here lying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think that's a huge part of why fat liberation is so important and why expanding education about these things, whether that is like fat phobia or anti-blackness, anti-racism, like expanding these the types of education that people go through, in addition to, you know, predictably old, racist and uninformed like textbooks that we've talked mm-hmm. about this on in many contexts on this show, talking about the history of like midwives and midwifery and like that whole realm. And yeah, just talking about how so much gets lost when, you know, people, let's say like a white doctor like thinks they're not doing harm because they don't know that like the way they're behaving or like talking to a black patient, a black fat patient, for example, is like really fucking oppressive and ableist, and like that they don't know the most up-to-date statistics about whether obesity is really a problem for this patient of theirs or whether those problems are like actually linked to other things. I think it's when there's not, when we have these huge gaps in education that like so many of us are in pain and like left kind of straggling.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Cause it's not so much that your weight is the risk factor so much. It's just like the lack of care because of your weight is the risk factor, just like with blackness. And it's not that like black people are inherently like going to get asthma, but it's the, well, that's a slightly different example, but I guess just that like black people are now put in areas or are resorted to going to living in areas that would put them in a position where they have asthma more because of the environmental factors. And so it's just, yeah, like a lot of times, actually, like fat people are able to move through illness better because like there's just like inherently like more protection. Like, so yeah, like a lot of times we're able to move through illnesses or we wouldn't need to, like we would heal up differently, maybe like not necessarily faster, but we would be able to heal. But it is the lack of care from the medical healthcare, from healthcare.
Yeah, from the industrial complex, as it were.
Yes, yeah, yes.
That is often more, causes us more harm than good, which is very depressing. I think what you were speaking to is like a huge part of just our culture and our history in North America and how we have survived. And that has been unofficially peer support. That has been your grandmother cooking you up a bunch of herbs and giving you specific, you know, remedies. Like African American folk healing is like, that's one of the main traditions of herbalism that I have learned from and that I practice and that my ancestors practiced. And it's like actually learning about, you know, I spent years doing these practices, having not grown up with my grandparents, having not grown up with Black elders in my family. Most of my grandparents passed away before I was born. So I was not raised with a lot of like Black care or caregiving. And in my adulthood, when I started getting into herbalism, I started practicing these things before I ever even read about them. And I didn't know about them. I did not grow up with these things. I grew up with one, our family friend who told me about roots and things, told me about black snake root and these other things. And that like piqued a little curiosity for me. And then when I started actually reading about it, I was like, oh, this is in my body. This is in my blood, my history of like, we've been taking care of each other outside of these fucking systems that don't love us, that don't respect us, that don't care about us, that, frankly, would often rather that we die, as we're seeing rather aggressively right now. And I think that historical, I don't know if precedent is the word I'm looking for, but like, yeah, that context is, it's kind of coming back up right now of like, you know, we take care of us.
Mm-hmm. We do. And we do, because these systems are not at all. They're actively like harming us. Yeah. In all sorts of ways. Deep breath. It's hard to like really confront that. I think that a lot of, even when you do receive healthcare, like a lot of the time, especially right now with the pandemic too, it's like, are you actually getting healthcare? Or are you just like telling someone about your pain and then being ignored? Yeah. Or not getting like a holistic view of like your body and your mind and how that those like come together as well. So it's really, where else can you get that care from besides from the people who are in your life? More. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's important to, it's hard because I think we're in this moment where things are obviously shifting and changing. And those of us who have more experience with the realities of systemic discrimination, whether that's medical racism or ableism or transphobia or whatever, we've been knowing that like, this is the reality for so many people, for so many groups of people. And then often like white able-bodied people are like, oh, I have long COVID and like nobody believes me and nobody, I can't get into any of these programs. Like, I've never been sick like this before in my life and I don't know what to do. And I'm losing my goddamn mind because like, I have so much brain fog. I can't even open my computer. Like it's interesting to see who's like aghast at like, what do you mean? I thought these, you know, what do you mean I can't get, you know, the care that I need? And it's like, oh, honey, I am so sorry. I have bad news for you about the way that these systems are. And several of the conversations I've had on this show are talking about being in this limbo space between like only trusting these hierarchical, sanctioned licenses, degrees, certifications, versus these less formal, less on paper types of care, such as, you know, group work, such as somatic healing practices, and peer support. I think we're in this time where things are shifting, and people are needing folks like you and me and other healing practitioners and healing artists to help fill in some of those gaps within, you know, within appropriate, you know, I'm not a doctor. But
no, community is just so, so, so important. And there are going to be all sorts of different practices from different people. Like exactly what you were saying, like, well, you're an herbalist, I'm a talk to you. Other people know how to do acupuncture. We were talking about that earlier. Some people are going to know how to, I mean, I also cook. I will cook for you. Like I will learn how to make the things with your like dietary needs in mind, you know? So yeah, like community is just, everyone's going to have like different roles. And I think that with like, that is evident in our society to some degree, like, oh, people have different like passions and that's what they do. And then, but then there's no like actual love in it anymore because it's not just for it's out of this necessity rather than out of care a lot of time now. And so it's like having to like shift. And I think you're right that that shift is happening more. But I don't think it can truly like happen while we're still under capitalism, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That full shift.
The full shift. Well, yeah, it's hard. It's like jumping off of one platform onto another. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I feel like
we're in the, that's it.
No, yeah. And it's, mm-hmm. yeah. And it's tricky because how do you, you have to, you have to convince people who might not fully understand or who might not be on board or who might not want to lose what they have. Whether they've worked for it or not, like people don't want to lose what they have and they don't want to lose whatever their current positioning in the world is. So it's like a lot of convincing of like, hop on this, you know, hop on this boat or this platform with me and like trust that we can make something better than what this is. Something better.
Hellscape.
Yeah. Better. Well, I think it's like, and it's not all gonna happen at once. That is a returning theme. For anyone who's wanting to learn more about fat phobia, what are some either reading or other resources that you'd recommend? And is there anyone who really inspires you in this realm?
Yeah, for sure. So I think learning from, you know, fat people and like fat people who have other marginalized identities is going to be, as always with everything, is going to be like the most holistic understanding of what is going on. So I follow like Sacred Space for Fat Bodies. And that is also like a mutual aid kind of hub as well, a lot of times for like Black fat people. If you are a fat person and you're looking to also be in community with other fat people and just kind of like either vent or just like have fun, Fierce Fat Femme on Instagram hosts a group called Full Fat. There's also a group called Fat Fridays, and that is hosted by Bree is Helpful. That's their Instagram handle. And that's kind of under the National Association to Advance Fat Acceptance, which has a lot of resources and learning about what fat phobia is and how to, again, like lean into fat acceptance. When I was getting into all of this years ago, it was really helpful to follow different like dietitians who are like, who hold either fat liberation, fat positivity, or fat acceptance within their work. And I think her handle is Intuitive Eating RD, I'm pretty sure. And Your Fat Friend, which I think it's like YR Fat Friend, or just maybe Your Fat Friend. Her first name's Aubrey, I believe. And they were really helpful too. She has a lot of like essays on fat phobia, and moving through that with her community. Sonia Renee Taylor, or Sonia. I always forget if it's Sonia or Sonia.
Sonia.
Okay.
But I always forget too.
Yeah. Wrote a book called Your Body's Not an Apology. I loved that. So yeah, I mean, that's a, also the fat sex therapist, very influential as well.
Oh, the fat sex therapist. Yeah, I think I follow them too.
Mm-hmm.
I will say that I've been reading The Body is Not an Apology for, I just pick it up randomly and finish a chapter.
Right?
I've been reading it for like years. Almost done. It's a very short read. It's not a big book. I will say that that book is, pun intended, it's very digestible. And it's also like a great, if you have problematic parents or family or friends, or if you're like, I don't know, if there's somebody in your life who engages in like a lot of negative self-talk or like self-hatred kind of talk that you maybe have trouble engaging with, it's probably one of the least passive-aggressive books you can gift somebody. Hopefully, I think it's a good gift for folks who like could kind of use a base level primer about like not just fat phobia, but like all the phobias, because yeah. She talks so extensively about systemic oppression and about embodiment and about like body hate and like how body hate explicitly is such a guiding oppressive force in our world. But it's also like very solutions oriented. Like it's not just like, isn't this messed up? It's like talking a lot about like, okay, well, here are some actionable, like practical things for how you, how we can start to fix this fucked up world. And it starts with ourselves. It starts at like the individual level. Yeah, I really appreciate that. That's a great recommendation.
Yeah. And that reminded me too of, again, the fat sex therapist, their name, Sonali Rishatwar. Their posts also are very much like comprehensive of understanding how all these systems of oppression are like connected. And so how to, if you are, again, yeah, trying to kind of understand how like all of our liberation is tied, they are a great person to look into. Yeah.
Excellent. That's great. Good
recommendation. I'm trying to think. Like once you start following like some of these people, like you just, it's like a whole like snowball. snowball. Thank you. And to just like the whole network. Because there's another dietitian / nutritionist who I follow. And she's like Black Caribbean, if I'm not mistaken. And just kind of understanding how like a lot of times like our like ancestral food is like deemed unhealthy or deemed like not good for you in any kind of way, and how it's just like that's just not true. Like it's just your brown rice is not really that much better than my white rice, okay?
I'm so glad. I'm so glad I finally stopped trying to convince myself to eat brown rice at home. I just don't enjoy it. And then it turns out it's not even significantly better for you. But it's like, why was that like, man, some of the shit, I know I'm older than you, but like some of the shit that was like drilled into our brains in the 90s was really something. And most of it was lie.
Truly. Just lying to our faces. Let me eat my rice and beans and be happy.
Let me live my life. Yeah. You're located in Eugene, Oregon currently. Welcome to Oregon. I'm sorry it's like this. And also welcome.
Thank you.
But all of your offerings are virtual. They are online at cosmichealing.adpotion.com, which will be linked in the show notes. Is there anything else you want to say about people coming to work with you and about this group?
Yeah, I guess I would just want to say that you can like find me on Instagram at It's Erica Full of Joy. So that'll also be in the show notes, but it's like Fulla, so F-U-L-L-A. And you can find me there, kind of see like what Cosmic Healing is about some more as well, in a like, I guess, a little bit more informal way. You can also like sign up for our emails and be connected to or like learn about our different offerings each month. So sometimes we'll have just like one-off community offerings so that people can meet each other, check in with each other. Kay also holds different, is holding a revolutionary astrology series over the next year. So if you are like really into astrology and have like a, I mean, if you're just really into it, you don't even have to have like a deep understanding. It could be more of a learning experience, or it can be more of a like contributing to this idea of what revolutionary astrology is. So that like the next one we'll have is in May, called Illuminating the Unseen, and it's about the outer planet. And yeah, if you're wanting an astro sesh with Kay, you can also find that on our website. If you want to just know about future group offerings, we have about one or two a year of like these multi-week long programs. You can sign up to just be a part of that notification list of like what's coming up. So that is us. And also, he just, you know, we're ever evolving. So, you know, that will also, if you want to just keep up with us, again, the email list is a great place to be.
Wonderful. And if you do sign up for the Fat Jupiter Liberation Group, let them know that you heard about it on this podcast.
Yes. And yeah, so sign ups close on the 14th. Make it fast.
yeah, that's why we're doing this episode today. So hopefully people have a chance to sign up. And yeah, I really want to encourage thin people to sign up for this.
Yes.
If you are trying to expand your praxis and do some more work around this kind of thing at a reasonable price. I really want to encourage thin people to kind of step up and into this one, because I think that's important.
Truly, thank you for saying that, Tavi, because that was something I was like, I need to say that. Because currently right now it's like kind of showing that we have more signups for the fat group than we do for the non-fat group. And so especially if you are like thinking like, oh, I'm liberation minded, I'm revolutionary minded, like sign up for the group. Even if this is the first time you're hearing about fat liberation, sign up for the group.
Yeah. Who knows how expansive it could be. Right. And Jupiter is all about expansion.
Exactly.
Erica, thank you so much. This was a delight. This is a delight.
Thank you. Yeah, this was so fun. Thank you so much for having me. And I'm excited to just continue like hearing these conversations that you have with people as well. This podcast is like really cool.
Thanks. I think so too. Talking about ever expanding. Yeah, we are indeed ever expanding. But I, Fat Liberation is like a conversation that I haven't had too much on this show thus far. Really grateful for you being here. Thank you so much for your time.